Welcome to another Podcast Friday. My name is Oge, the host and creator of The Oge Show, a podcast that is themed around societal issues. If today is your first time joining us on The Oge Show, welcome. I hope you stay by clicking on the subscribe button and liking and sharing this podcast episode and podcast to all of your friends, family, and foes. Today on the podcast, we are going to be discussing spontaneous abortion, aka miscarriage. And Dr. Shola Ojo, a general medicine practitioner, is our guest for today. He's going to take us through everything concerning spontaneous abortion. So why don't you just sit down, relax while I entertain, educate, and inform you.
Very much. Okay.
So how have you been?
It's good. I've been good. How about yours?
Fine, actually. So please can you introduce yourself for my, you know, for my listeners and stuff?
Oh, okay. So I am Dr. Shola. I'm Yoruba from Oyo State. I stay in Abuja. I'm currently working at BM University General Hospital, Comprehensive Medical Center. And what else is left to say?
Okay.
I think that's it, yeah?
That's simple and plain. So guys, Dr. Shola Ojo is a doctor.
Yes, a general practitioner.
General medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so Dr. Shola, miscarriage, it's a big word. It's usually followed, you know, with sadness. It's synonymous with a sad story, bad news or something, especially in the life of a woman who is looking to be a mother and all of that. So please tell us what a miscarriage is.
Okay. Miscarriage is basically, simplest way you can put it is a spontaneous abortion. That's the simplest way you can put it.
Okay.
Usually, people think there's a difference between abortion and miscarriage, but there isn't. In fact, it can be.
Oh, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm there. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, you said it's spontaneous abortion.
Yeah, spontaneous.
I feel like
abortion.
That. Very
loaded word. Yeah. I'll break it down.
Okay.
Usually, people think that there's a difference between abortion and miscarriage, but there isn't actually. Let's just say, in a way, someone can understand. Miscarriage is a type of abortion. Abortion can either be spontaneous or induced. So miscarriage is spontaneous abortion. That means without the intent to terminate a pregnancy, the abortion occurs. But when it's induced, that means you deliberately want to terminate a pregnancy. So if I can put it in form of a definition, I'd say miscarriage is the expulsion of an embryo or a fetus. Okay, the difference between embryo and fetus is just the age, the gestational age. Embryo is before 11 weeks, then after 11 weeks it's now called a fetus. Right? So it's the expulsion of an embryo or a fetus spontaneously when the fetus cannot survive the pregnancy independently. Sorry, I didn't get you.
Because so many people do not know what that means. I personally just got this information. I used to always say, "Oh, fetus in the womb." So thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you understand that.
So far you told us that a miscarriage is an abortion.
Yes, it is.
But then what differentiates it from the abortion that
most people know?
Something that just happened, right?
Sorry, I didn't get what you said.
I said the difference between miscarriage and then abortion, that is D&D, yes, is the fact that miscarriage is spontaneous. Yes. It's not planned.
It's not intentional. That's the word.
Oh, I don't want this baby. I don't want... Are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Sorry, I think network is a bit acting out.
Network. At the moment, the reception is crappy. It's just always goes off. Terrible.
Okay.
Okay, so what are the symptoms of a miscarriage? How do you know that or you suffered a miscarriage? Because I know, I've heard women say they didn't know they were pregnant.
Okay, the thing is, there are different types. Right?
Okay.
There are different types of miscarriages. Right, coming with some different types of symptoms. Okay, so if I would want to go into symptoms, I would want to go into it describing the different types of miscarriages because there are different types of symptoms.
Okay, let's start with the types of miscarriages.
Okay, with the types, I think there are basically about six types generally. There's
right.
Threatened abortion. You know, I said I can use abortion and miscarriage interchangeably. So it doesn't mean mean that they are different things. There's threatened abortion, there's inevitable abortion, there's complete abortion, there's incomplete abortion, there's missed abortion, and then there's septic abortion. Now, this is not like the kind of knowledge I would want everybody to have. Like, it's just for professionals. But if I'm going to describe the symptoms, I think everybody should know that at least there are different types. So that if you don't see one particular type, you say, this is not abortion because this is not the type I know. Do you understand? So there are different types. Threatened abortion. Let me start with threatened abortion. Threatened abortion is, simply put, when a miscarriage takes place, but it is, the process is still salvageable, like you can still reverse the process. Do you understand?
You can reverse. See, that means like
when...
Okay, is that like in the part where we see in the movies where a woman is bleeding even though she's pregnant, but then she doesn't lose it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh,
exactly. Aye. That's threatening abortion.
Okay. Like,
the woman bleeds, she gets scared. Oh, I saw blood and everything, and then she runs to the hospital. They do a scan. Ah, the baby's okay, and she's all relieved. Doesn't mean that she didn't have a miscarriage. Yeah. She did, but it was threatened. Yeah. It was a type of miscarriage. So the baby is okay, and then it's threatened. I would like to try to put in some tips on how we commonly manage it and how people can help themselves when they are faced with this. So usually,
go ahead.
Okay, so usually in threatened miscarriage, you just have bleeding. You have vaginal bleeding. Usually not all that much, but then it's significant enough to make you panic. And then there might be abdominal pain, usually not severe but moderate. There might be abdominal pain.
Okay. So
there is that, and then usually it's the vaginal bleeding that raises awareness for people and makes people panic. Oh, let's go to the hospital and all those things. So on getting to the hospital, they usually request an ultrasound scan to check the well-being of the baby, of the fetus. And then when they check, they will now see, in threatened abortion, they will now see, okay, there's fetal heart tone. That means the baby's heart is moving, the fetus is moving, and all those things, confirming that the baby is okay, right? So on confirmation that the baby is okay, the next thing is to take the next way forward, which is trying to prevent another miscarriage, because if another miscarriage happens, it might not be threatened, it might be the one that will lead to the fetal demise. You get? So usually we place the those kind of patients that have those stress-related miscarriage on strict bed rest. Now, hypothetically, it has been proven, or it is said hypothetically, that increased stress, increased physical activities to people prone for miscarriages increases the chances of having a miscarriage. Increased physical activity. Yes. Wow. So, to people prone to it, you get. So, thing is, we usually place the patient, those kind of patients with threatening abortion, on strict bed rest. Give them something for the pain.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Strict bed rest. Give them something for the pain. Because one thing about threatened miscarriage is, even after you move past that period of miscarriage, right, you stand risk to a whole couple of other things later in the pregnancy. Like, the baby might not reach term. The baby might not reach 9 months.
Wow.
Yes, it increases the chances of giving birth to a premature baby. Another thing is, it increases the chances of developing some sort of what we call antepartum hemorrhage. That's some bleeding before labor. Do you understand?
Oh,
yeah. Bleeding before labor. That's, you know, all those ones that their pregnancies usually advance, maybe like in the third trimester, and all of a sudden they start bleeding. That is not miscarriage, because miscarriage usually happens between
the first and second trimester.
Exactly. Between 0 and like 20, 22 weeks. Sometimes in Nigeria they say 24 weeks. So from 24 weeks, any other bleeding from 24 weeks is called antepartum bleeding. So it increases the chances of that happening, and then increases the chances of stillbirth, which the fetus dying in the womb and all those things. So there, even after you get past that place, the pregnancy should be approached with more caution. So the old bed rest thing, advisable. Sometimes they are giving injections like HCG injection just to help maintain the pregnancy better. And then to be very meticulous, they might increase the number of antenatal visits. Do you understand? So so people can come to the, those kind of patients can come to the hospital often to get regular checks because they are at risk. You get. So that is threatened abortion. Now, inevitable abortion is the abortion that the miscarriage that has already taken place and there's nothing you can do about it. That means the fetus is already dead.
The baby died.
There's nothing you can do about it. So usually dead. So it usually comes with vaginal bleeding too, more severe. Vaginal bleeding is more severe, and also the abdominal pain is more severe. So in this case, there's really nothing you can do since the baby is already dead, but to expel the baby, to remove the baby from, to remove the fetus, this dead fetus from the womb, which I said there are two safe ways in which we do that, usually depending on the gestational age and stuff. Sometimes we just give a drug that increases the uterine contraction, the uterus contraction, and then the mother should be able to expel the fetus out. Or we do the surgical method where
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So, did you get the surgical part?
Yes, I did.
Okay. So, that is about inevitable abortion. But then, there's another type, which is incomplete abortion. Now, in incomplete, like the name, incomplete, means that when the abortion takes place, some part of the fetus comes out. And some remains.
Whoa.
Some remains in the womb while some parts comes out. Now, in this,
this sounds like everything.
Yes, it does. Now, in this, the blood, the vaginal bleeding is not just blood. Sometimes you see stuff like tissue, like you see like clotted blood. You see it's not just blood. Those are the products of conceptions coming out. Yes. So
okay,
it's more profuse, but not just only blood. There's also severe abdominal pain. And then the only way you can confirm whether it's complete or incomplete is if you do an ultrasound scan. An ultrasound scan will show that there's still some products of conception inside the uterus.
Inside,
so they will still have to take it out, either medically by using those drugs to expel, or surgically by doing a manual evacuation. That's a safe form of the safer form of DNC. So it's not one. Another importance of saying this is that it's not every time you see bleeding you think, ah, I had miscarriage, and I had a complete miscarriage. For every time you see bleeding, you don't know if it's complete or incomplete until when you go to the hospital, because in this. In this incomplete abortion, the bleeding won't stop until the womb is evacuated. It won't stop.
So that's a lot of blood.
Now, if the blood doesn't get detrimental to your health, it will get infected. Alright? When it gets infected, it becomes septic abortion, which is the fourth type I'm describing now. Now, when it becomes septic, there's fever. Fever comes in, then there's this tenderness, abdominal tenderness. Then you begin to have purulent vaginal discharge, like foul-smelling vaginal discharge. And if you still don't do anything from then, you can go into septic shock, and that is life, severely life-threatening. So if you wonder what usually all those ladies that do those the abortion, the induced abortion, right, and they go anywhere and go and do it, one of the major things that kills, apart from the bleeding and maybe they injure them during the process, during the abortion process, is this septic abortion. Because sometimes when they do the abortion finish, they don't remove the old products. So as far as there's something remaining, you will continue to bleed. And when they continue to bleed, they just feel like, ah, I've done abortion, so there's no problem. And then the bleeding continues till it gets affected, and then they still don't do anything after it gets affected, and then they go into shock. They go into septic shock. And then that's when death comes. So, in this type of abortion, once you see in septic abortion, once fever kicks in, once your temperature starts going up and stuff, and fever kicks in, and then you start noticing some weird discharges from your vagina, and then you notice that you're having severe abdominal pain and tenderness, then is an indication that the abortion has now gone septic. It's now infected. So people don't know that there's also the infected type of abortion too. So there is also the complete abortion. Complete abortion, in this one, you have very, very profuse vaginal bleeding. And then there's lots of blood with lots of products of conception, like clots. You see them like clots, thick clots coming out. And then there's also intense vaginal bleeding. And then it happens, and all of a sudden everything stops. The abdominal pain stops, the vaginal bleeding stops. And once it stops, you go and do a scan, you see that the uterus is empty, meaning that everything came out. So in this case, in this case, you really don't do anything, but just to advise the person, advise the patient, and tell them you're sorry, and tell them to just rest, and tell them to take a lot of fruits and all those things, and try again. you get. Then leading me to the last one, which is missed abortion. In missed abortion, this one, I don't like it because I've seen it before and I didn't like it. Like, imagine you are pregnant. Not you, sorry, but then someone else. But then, imagine the person is pregnant, chilling with vaccine in the old pregnancy, euphoria and stuff and everything. And then, you just notice that you went to antenatal and then they told you your fetus has died like since like 1 week ago or like 3 days ago.
Wow, that's heartbreaking.
Very heartbreaking. Like, very heartbreaking. You're carrying a dead fetus up and down. It's very, very heartbreaking. So, in missed abortion, like the name, missed, you don't know it happened. Sometimes people say that bleeding, spotting, very, very little. You know, spotting is very little, maybe one drop or so. But they don't really, they don't really pay attention to it. They might or might not have any pain, but the thing will just happen and just go. And you won't know that the fetus is dead. Maybe if you have gotten to the gestational age where the fetus moves and then you notice the baby kicks, maybe you can suspect that the fetus is dead when those kicks have reduced or stopped. But in those early stages of the pregnancy, you don't notice those kicks, so you won't really know. So by the time you go and then they do an ultrasound scan, they don't see the fetus heart moving, they don't see anything at all.
Happening.
And then they say, this baby has died for a while. That's really heartbreaking. So bottom line too is they will have to remove it so that it doesn't cause its infection, it doesn't cause all these things. They remove it and then they keep. So those are the types of miscarriages and the way they present. So when anybody sees how it is, at least I think people would have an idea now, even though I've been yarning plenty things, but then people will have an idea of how it usually comes and different types of ways it can come. So it should help.
Okay.
But then there are causes of this thing, of the whole miscarriage thing. Now,
yes, I've just asked you that. What causes miscarriage?
You know, there's nothing you can like pinpoint and say, if you do this thing, you're going to have a miscarriage. You get, but there are a lot of things that tend to predispose people to miscarriages, like increases your chances of miscarriage. Now, I would. Okay. Let me divide those things. Usually, anytime people say miscarriage, they just think it's the mother. you get now, like they just think it's the mother's fault. Sometimes it's the fetus' fault. It's the baby's fault. Sometimes.
Yes. The baby's fault.
Sometimes they are chromosome.
Please explain. First time I'm hearing about.
Okay. Like. There's something we call chromosomal aberrations. Like, when there's a default in the chromosomes formation of the baby. I don't know if you've heard of chromosomes before.
Yes, X and Y.
Thank you. So, there are usually those things that, those genetic makeup that differentiates the baby into male and female. You get. So, a default information of those chromosomes could lead into miscarriage. Just that. Now, that is nobody's fault. But why I say it is the baby's fault is because it is not the mother's fault and it's as a result of malformation in the baby's genetic makeup that is leading to the miscarriage. Another thing is there's also increased chance of miscarriage in multiple pregnancies. Twinnings, triplets. There's increased chance of that. Yes,
oh, nice.
There's increased chance of all those things in multiple pregnancies, and also some genetic abnormalities. Now, I like to think that this is my own personal way, it's not medical, but I just think that sometimes people have miscarriages when there's a genetic abnormality that probably the parents won't like, won't be able to live with or something, and God just has his way to just be like, ah, let me keep this one and bring another one, a better one for you. Do you get? This is just my own thinking. Now, when I see genetic abnormalities, is that sometimes in the formation of the baby, you've seen some babies with genetic abnormalities, like congenital abnormalities right from birth. Some come in,
yeah,
they have a hole in their heart, they have different heart defects. Some, their upper lips is joined to their nostrils and all those, the cleft lip and palate. And there are different types, but there are some that they are in, they do not allow the pregnancy to continue. Do you get?
Oh,
so when those kind of then,
so like,
sorry, you want to say something?
If fetus kills itself in the womb,
something like that, like,
wow,
some genetic abnormalities do not allow the pregnancy to continue. So that is how the miscarriages now occurs. Now, moving to the mother's part, there are different causes, like an infection, the mother having an infection, like syphilis.
Okay.
Syphilis infection has been proven to cause, to increase the chances of having miscarriage. Then,
all right,
like maternal conditions, medical conditions like hypertension, like uncontrolled diabetes, those things are actually proven. Then lifestyle environmental causes like smoking, alcohol intake, exposure to radiation, those things have been proven. Like, that's why your advice, one of the major reasons why, apart from the fact that alcohol, intake of alcohol and smoking could lead to those congenital abnormalities when you give birth and stuff, the baby is not normal, they could actually cause miscarriages. Then also stuff like problems with the mother's womb. A problem with the mother's womb.
Okay.
Like, what we call biconate uterus, that's the uterus is not the right shape at all, so the fetus, like after implantation, when the fertilization implantation has occurred, the fetus, as it's growing, because of the weird shape of the womb, it can't continue to grow, so it just aborts itself. Do you get?
Oh wow.
And then also things like Asherman syndrome. Now, Asherman syndrome is plenty adhesions in the uterus. Now, what I mean by adhesions is that, you know, healing, when you have an injury, you make a scar and then you heal, right? Now, usually that Asherman syndrome is caused by repeated induced abortions. Like D and C, they use sharp instruments, really sharp iron instruments to scrape the inside of the uterus. Do you get? Wow. When they are scraping the inside, that's why it's not really safe. When you're scraping the inside of the uterus, definitely they will injure some parts of the uterus, and when they injure, definitely the uterus will heal. So it will heal and form scars. So imagine those multiple scars in the uterus.
In the womb.
You get. It can cause further miscarriages. So you see people that have had abortions with D and C 3, 4, 5 times. It puts them at risk to get a miscarriage in the future. So there are those things. Those things are like maternal causes of miscarriage. They are maternal causes of miscarriage. So basically, those are the major causes of miscarriage.
Okay. Wow, I've learned so much in the last 20 minutes.
Yes.
That I did not even know existed.
I'm glad you have.
Oh my
I'm glad God. You have. It's
literally enjoying the session.
Sorry?
So how is a miscarriage diagnosed and treated?
Basically, when the person comes, usually, like I said, it's abdominal pain and vaginal bleeding that alerts a woman to, oh my God, I've had miscarriage. Do you get? So, when they come, we determine how profuse the bleeding has been. To help to see if the person might need some resuscitation with intravenous fluids and stuff and everything. So then before a scan, before we do an ultrasound scan, we'll check the cervix. Sometimes, in some types of miscarriages, the cervix is open. In some other types, the cervix is closed. So the cervix open or closed helps us also determine which type of miscarriage this person has had. Then we then do an ultrasound scan to one, check the baby's well-being, check and also see if there's a fetal heart, is the baby moving, is the baby okay, or the mother expel part of the conception, is there still remaining, is the uterus empty, do we have to evacuate and stuff. So usually the mainstay is usually the ultrasound. The ultrasound will tell you everything, that okay, this baby is okay, this baby is not. So for mothers out there, if you have any sort of bleeding and anything, even when you go to the hospital, you have, if the doctor does or whoever is attending you doesn't request for an ultrasound scan, you personally have to request for an ultrasound scan, because there's no how the doctor or whoever else worker is attending to you can be absolutely sure that the pregnancy is still on or the baby is still okay without an ultrasound scan. It cannot be absolute. So it's usually the minister determine everything. Yes.
Okay. So aside the vaginal bleeding, is there any other way someone can tell that they've had a miscarriage?
The vaginal bleeding and then the abdominal pain, the quantity of the vaginal bleeding. There's really no other way. There's really no other way. Unless, like I said, unless if the pregnancy is probably like in the mid-second trimester, where the mother has already started feeling the fetal movements, and all of a sudden, she notices
that
she's not feeling it anymore. That's another way a woman can suspect. She notices she's not feeling anything anymore. So,
the major can one get pregnant?
Sorry?
Are you there?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I said, so, can one get pregnant following a miscarriage? And if yes, how long does one have to wait before trying to get pregnant again?
You can definitely get pregnant after a miscarriage. One of the easiest ways to make sure it happens as fast as possible is that the moment you notice a miscarriage, if there's incomplete and if there's still some products of conception in the uterus, you evacuate. Now, if after evacuating and the uterus is empty, you can get pregnant after minimum of 2 months.
Within a month or 2 months.
Sorry?
That's medically.
Medically, minimum of 2 months.
Medically advisable to wait between 1 month to 2 months before getting pregnant.
Minimum of 2 months. You can get a minimum of 2 months. You can get. Because apart from the old baby thing in the womb and everything, there's this hormone that is present in the blood during pregnancy. It's HCG hormone. That's what that pregnancy test peaks in the urine. And yes, in the blood, in the urine. That's why even 2-3 weeks after an abortion, after a miscarriage, you can still get a positive pregnancy test. So, yes, until after that hormone wanes off, then you have another cycle of ovulation, then you can get pregnant. So, roughly estimating it to 2 months, within 2 months after a complete miscarriage, you can get pregnant.
Okay.
Yes.
So, our final question for today, can a miscarriage be prevented? And how can miscarriages be prevented?
Okay. Now, like, you know, the way I said, there's nothing you can point at to as this thing will surely cause miscarriage if you do it. Same way, there's nothing you can point at that if I do this thing, I will prevent a miscarriage. You get
okay,
but see things like, but the basics about prevention is removing things that avoiding things that increase your chances to miscarriage.
Like what?
Alcohol. It's within your power to not drink alcohol, to not smoke, to not expose yourself to radiations. It's within your power to not do that. It's within your power to actually go for consistent, regular antenatal checkup. Within your power to do that. Most women like to wait until maybe their second trimester before they answer. The moment you confirm your pregnancy, from your loss of period, you didn't see your period, you did a strip test, you saw you're pregnant. It's at that time a woman should sign up and register for an antenatal. So, because a regular monitoring of the pregnancy can help prevent a miscarriage. So there are not so much things you can do to prevent miscarriage, but the ones within your power, like this, watching, do not take in alcohol, being regular with your antenatal visits, like also sticking with your antenatal multivitamins, folic acid, and all those things, they could help in reducing the chances of having a miscarriage.
Okay. Yes. Wow, this has been like a very, very informative and educating session.
Yes.
And I don't want this conversation to end, seriously, but thank you very much.
I wouldn't leave with myself if I don't say this.
Okay, cool. Lay it on me, lay it on us.
Among the complications of miscarriages, we shouldn't forget the psychological part. Most people, most women, after a miscarriage, they feel all type of ways, from depression to anger to pain to guilt. Because
therapy,
you need, if it's so bad, you need therapy, because that feeling as if they lost a child is the same thing, even though it's first trimester or second trimester or after 5 years. It's the same thing. They feel that. They feel some lapse into depression straight away after a miscarriage. Can you blame them? You can't blame them. You understand? It's a very painful ordeal to go through. Some feel the guilt. I'm not supposed to do this thing. Maybe I was supposed to register for antenatal earlier and I didn't do it. Why didn't I do it? And all those things. I killed my child.
The blame game,
I killed my child and all those
the
things.
The blame game starts.
So sometimes it gets really bad that they lose some sort of self-worth. Sometimes they don't even want to attempt the pregnancy thing again, and they get really depressed and all those things. So when it begins, usually that goes with time. usually that goes with time. Mm. Or sometimes, usually when after another attempt, maybe 2-3 months, 4 months later, they then get pregnant again, then it goes, then they become hopeful again. But sometimes it can get real serious that, you know, they say black people, they don't need therapists and other stuff, but we don't pay attention to mental health. So usually it can get really bad that people should always keep the option of going to a therapist very open, because if you are not in the right state mentally
of mind,
you might not be able to attempt another pregnancy. Do you understand? So that's a very important part post miscarriage that people should know about. Yes.
Wow. So guys, you've heard Dr. Shola here, so different types. Look at me. Until today, I was 30 years old when I knew that there are about 6 different types of abortions, spontaneous abortions in medicine. And I've learned so much about causes of miscarriage, symptoms of miscarriages, and so many other things. Like, this has been really, really fun. And thank you very much, Dr. Shola. I feel like you should start a YouTube channel where you talk about stuff like that, because you broke it down to you broke it down in layman terms, and I was just taking notes and stuff.
Thank you so much.
If someone says, "Can you talk to me about miscarriage?" and I'm like, "Oh, I know you this know. Now. See now, I know."
Yes,
because seriously, I took notes while you were talking. Yeah,
thank
and
you so much.
Thank you very much. I only just told you about this a few hours ago, and just were like, "Wow, let's do this."
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
So, guys. Yeah, so your social media handle, your Twitter handle, in case of
officially
for Abuja residents.
Twitter and Instagram is Paragon with 2 R's and an underscore after the N. Paragon with 2 R's and an underscore after the N. Both Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, guys, so you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Paragon, PARRAGON underscore. Yeah. And for all my listeners in Abuja, he's really close to you. You can call him, you can send him a DM for all your medical consultancy.
I'm happy to help at any time.
You have to pay for it though.
Yes.
You have to pay for it. That's for you. Forever.
I'm still happy.